Look, we're using this one. All right. Psalm 88. You guys, this lesson was about the castle of the giant despair. I just felt like that was only part of this section. If you read your book, you're going to see that there was more to this. And yes, this lesson does talk about that, but I can't help but look at the beginning of the journey when Christian and Hopeful are on the road and they meet Mr. Buy-In. There's some very interesting stuff there that I just felt like I couldn't skip. So it's going to be a little bit of both sections. And there's a little intermission there that I'll talk about. But I want us to think about as we're getting started. Now, this is really related to the castle there of Doubting Castle and the giant despair. But listen to these words. If this is not describing someone who is hurting and struggling, we're missing something. This person that is being described here is someone who is in emotional and probably physical pain because of it. He says, "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have crushed my companions to shun me. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Are your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in darkness? Are your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assault destroyed me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness." Now, when you listen to that description of this individual, this person feels alone. They have no companions. Their friends have left them. They feel like there's darkness around them. They're in a scary place. You guys, when we get over to Doubting Castle and we find Christian in the dungeon, you're going to see something that I thought it was interesting that Bunyan would point out. And that is the desire, the thought of suicide. I mean, that's how bad he was. And when you look at this person is looking, "I have no hope, but yet I still cry out to you." That's his repeated, right? He says, "I have all these things going on. I'm in darkness. I am struggling." But at the same time, there's these verses where he's talking about, "I still cry out. I still ask." And we're going to see that that's really the best thing that we've got when we're feeling in that position. So let's get started. Like I said, I couldn't skip the first part of this section. Pages 112 through 127, we see the journey of the company. And they meet up with Mr. Buy-In. And later, his familiar group of companions. And we're going to look at them briefly. From the bottom of page 127 over to page 138, we see the events of Doubting Castle and Giant Despair. Now, remember, Christian and Faithful were in prison in Vanity Fair. And you remember what happened? They brought them out to torture them, and they tortured Faithful until he died. So he left there, right? It says Faithful was killed there. So while Christian was put back into prison, but he eventually escaped. Listen to this. But as for Christian, he had some respite and was remanded back to prison. So he there remained for a space. But he who overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his own hand, so wrought it about that Christian for that time escaped and went his way. And as he went, he sang, saying, "Well, Faithful, thou hast faithfully professed unto the Lord, unto thy Lord, with whom thou shalt be blessed, when faithless ones with all their vain delights are crying out under their hellish plights, sing, Faithful, sing, and let thy name survive, for though they killed thee, thou art yet alive." I love that little poem that Bunyan threw in there. Notice that Bunyan provides Christian with another companion. You guys, I love how Bunyan addresses the fact that the church doesn't die out. You know, there's been people through, you read through Scripture and you find out that all of them die at some point. But then he raises up another. And that's really what Bunyan is illustrating there with Faithful. Yes, he's lost Faithful's companionship, but then he raises up another. Listen to how he puts it. "Now I saw in my dream that Christian went not forth alone, for there was one whose name was Hopeful, being so made by the beholding of Christian and Faithful in their words and behavior, in their suffering at the fair." So he was one who was watching what was going on at Vanity Fair. "Who joined himself unto him, and entering into a brotherly covenant, told him that he would be his companion. Thus one died to bear testimony to the truth, and another rises out of his ashes to be a companion with Christian in his pilgrimage. This Hopeful also told Christian that there were many more of the men in the fair that would take their time and follow after." So he's saying there were more in that fair that would get out, would escape. And it kind of hints to the idea that it was Christian and Faithful's testimony, how they did not bow or bend to that bogus court where they said they were guilty. There were more there, and Hopeful was saying, there will be some more coming along this path behind us. So got to talk about Mr. Buy-In. Have y'all ever heard that term before, Mr. Buy-In? I had to look it up. It's an old term, an old phrase. But you guys, this section is really about religious people approving of religious compromise. It's okay to give a little here and give a little there. That's all this section is about. Now, think about Bunyan and all that he was dealing with when he was dealing with the Anglicans and the Catholics and all that they were dealing with that he was facing. He was watching people compromise. And I think it troubled him. And it wasn't like just one guy. It was like this band who was going to try to convince Christian to, you know, "Christian, what we're doing the right thing here." And they even studied and come up with an argument. They came up with these real tough questions, and they asked him. And we're going to look at the answers. We're not going to take the time to read how they came up with these questions. But Let's jump in here and see what's going on. So we begin with Mr. Bunyan's. Now, Bunyan's names always have a meaning. Buy-in speaks of deception, a private end or ambition, a secret purpose or design, hidden agenda, an incidental aim or objective. So what he's saying is, you think he's thinking this, but he's really thinking that. That's what Mr. Bunyan represents. He says, you know, I really want to do this, and I'm going to make it sound like that's what I really want to do, but that's not my objective. My objective is over here. So that's the other side, the other end. He's not going where you think he's going. He's going somewhere else. And that's how Bunyan was portraying this Mr. Bunyan's, who was, we're going to read some of his language. So he says there, so I saw that quickly after they were got out of the fair, they overtook one that was ongoing before. So I saw that quickly after I saw them, whose name was Bunyan. So they said to him, what countryman, sir, and how far do you go this way? He told them that he came from the town of Fair Speech. He didn't come out of Vanity Fair. He came out of Fair Speech, and he was going to the celestial city, but told them not his name. Christian asked him, from Fair Speech, is there any good that lives there? Do you understand what Christian was getting at there? He says, is there anything that would be positive out of a place called Fair Speech? Already you get this sense of people having this ability or this desire to talk about things and say good things, but they really don't mean it. Christians seem to recognize this guy as though he's heard of him before, if you read the section. But it does make me think about a proverb in Proverbs 26, verse 24. It says, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Couldn't help but think about how those verses apply to Mr. Bunyan. Things will change as we go along with Mr. Bunyan's, but the conversation, you guys, if you take time, Christian was leery of him at the beginning. He recognized him somewhat, and he began to ask some questions because of his suspicion. So Christian says, pray, who are your kindred there? If a man may be so bold, and Bunyan says, almost the whole town, and in particular, my Lord Turnabout. Now pay attention to these names, you guys. There's reason. We don't have time to go through all of them, but think about what they're saying. When Bunyan gives these names to individuals, he's pointing out something specific about their behavior or their actions. So he says, almost the whole town, and in particular, my Lord Turnabout, my Lord Timesaver, my Lord Fair Speech, from whose ancestors that town first took its name. Also, Mr. Smooth Man, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Anything, and the parson of our parish, Mr. Two Tongues. Y'all get that? Mr. Two Tongues was my mother's own brother by father's side. Now, I couldn't put that. Carol would have to figure that one out. I can't figure that one out. All right? And to tell you the truth, I am become a gentleman of good quality. Yet, my great-grandfather was but a waterman, looking one way and rowing another. You see what he's saying? He's saying he's facing backwards. When you row, you're facing backwards. So he's paying attention to that. He don't care about where he's going. He's looking back where he's been. That's what he's doing, you see? Y'all, we could really spend our whole time talking about these individuals and these names, but think about a pastor whose name is Two Tongues, right? I mean, he's showing that these people have this divided conscience, right? And it shows forth as time goes on in the conversation. You can see how everything that buy-in is about, Mr. Buy-in is about, it's about whatever it takes to get what I want. But I'll say anything that it takes to you to get you to be my companion or to walk, let me walk on, whatever I can use from you, I will take it. So it's a person who uses people and things for self-profit. And that's what all this is about. That's what he was brought up as being. And it was okay. It was actually approved. So Mr. Vines was reluctant to give his name. But in his introduction of himself, he proclaimed many moral platitudes concerning his wealth, his image, and his principled appropriateness. He was good. He considered himself, I'm a good man. I'm a good man. I'm well respected in that city of fair speech. He even bragged about his wife's virtue, her virtuous life, and her virtuous family. You see? He's bragging. It's just words. Now see, folks, anybody can say anything. But you know the only way to tell what a person's really made of is to watch them for a while. Because everybody can take and put on a front or put on a face and do what they want to for a little while. But you watch them for a while and you'll see whether they're actually faithful. You'll see if they're really caring about what the Lord's doing in people's lives. Just monitor them for a while and you'll see the truth come out. Well, that kind of is what happens here. Christian says, I thought indeed that you were the man that I heard of, and that to tell you what I think, I fear this name belongs to you more properly than you are willing we should think it doth. Buy more, or buy in. Says, well, if you will thus imagine, I cannot help it. You shall find me a fair companion keeper if you will still admit me your associate. Christian says, if you will go with us, you must go against wind and tide, the which I perceive is against your opinion. You must also own religion in his rags as well as when in his silver slippers, and stand by him. Two, when bound in irons, as well as when he walketh the streets with applause. Buy-in says, you must not impose nor lord it over my faith. Lead me to my liberty and let me go with you. He says, don't ask me to change. Do y'all get that? So if we have people that want to come and be a part of us, and they say, well, I want to come and be a part of your church. I want to be a part of your assembly, but please don't press upon me your religious dogma. I don't want to be like you. I just want to be with you. You see how bad that would be? I think Bunyan saw some of that. I think... You go through church a while and you'll see some of that as well. It's just what men do. It's just what natural man does in struggling against that. But yet he's saying, I need to have my freedom. I need to experience my liberty. So don't infringe upon my freedom. That's a scary thing for us to do as a church, you guys. To just say, well, we don't care what you believe. We just want you on a pew. And that's what I think that Bunyan was fighting against or standing against, that there was nobody that wanted to come along and be alongside him in the suffering. They wanted all the good stuff of that companionship. But they didn't want to be the ones who serve. So, Christian tells him, not a step farther. Unless you will do in what I propound as we behave like we do what we do. Then said Bynes, I shall never desert my old principles since they are harmless and profitable. Pay attention to those two words, you guys. Amen. You see what Bynes is saying? As long as they're harmless and profitable, he sees no danger, no Nothing's wrong with what he's doing. It's okay. And plus, reasonable men would say, well, if it profits me, it's got to be good. And that's the way the world thinks. Yeah. Without Christ, our thinking is so twisted. Without Christ, our thinking is so twisted that we don't see harm where there is harm. We don't see danger where there is danger. And if there is profit, we're going to say, well, that's got to be good for us. Can I throw something out we pick on? Your best life now? Does that not fit that bill right there? When somebody says, well, you can live your best life now, that's really what he's thinking. If I may not go with you, this is what Bayan continues. If I may not go with you, I must do as I did before you overtook me. Even go by myself, and listen to this, and some overtake me that will be glad of my company. Well, I'll go find somebody else that will put up with me. Oh, that's fine. There's churches everywhere. Go find you one that'll give you and do just what you want. I know that sounds harsh, you guys, but I think what Bunyan could point out was the dangers of just letting down our standards, letting down our guard. Christian did not. Hopeful kind of thought about it, thought, you know, this dude's a pretty good guy here. Why don't we let him go? Christian said, no, you're not seeing through what he's doing, what he's saying. Mr. Bayan's companions catch up to him after Christian and Hopeful walk off and leave him. And their names, now, I think their name speaks volumes. How about Mr. Money Love? Mr. Hold the World? How about Mr. Save All? Bayan gives his description of Christian and Hopeful. Listen to what he says of them. Bayan says this, why they, after their headstrong manner, concluded that it is their duty to rush on their journey all weathers, meaning whatever the weather's like, they're going to keep going. Whether it's good or bad, they're going. And I am for waiting for wind and tide. I want it to be good. I want something to help push me along. So he was actually pointing out the differences between Christian and Hopeful and himself to his three companions that caught up with him. They are for hazarding all for God at a clap. And I am for taking all advantages to secure my life and estate. They are for holding their notions, though all other men be against them. But I am for religion. In what? And so far as the times and my safety will bear it, they are for religion when it's rags and contempt. But I am for him when he walks in his silver slippers in the sunshine and with applause. Did y'all just hear what he said? He said, Christian and Hopeful are willing to suffer. He said, but I only want it when it's good. Amen. You see, y'all, that's a problem for believers. If that's the way we view Christ, or if that's the way we view our Christian pilgrimage, oh, I'm all for it when it's all good and there's silver slippers and the sun's shining and everything's good, but don't bring me through no turmoil. I will avoid that at all cost. So, I got to hurry, you guys. That section excited me a great deal. I want to encourage you to take and read it slowly and think about the implications of what's going on in that confrontation. Christian and Hopeful show a great deal of wisdom at this point and rightfully left Mr. Bayan's and their companions. The religious but lost foursome have had this little powwow and came up with these arguments that they thought that nobody could respond to. And Christian does. But folks, for sake of time, I'm gonna have to ask you to read that yourself. Read Christian's response, because it is so good how he takes that every argument that they give, and he gives a biblical response how dangerous and damaging it is. So I'm going to have to hurry along here just a little bit. So, going on their journey, after they separate ways with the four compromisers there, Mr. Buy-In and those other three guys. So they're continuing on. They see there's this short little episode about wanting some treasure. There's a silver mine, and they almost turned into it, and they talked each other out of it, and they kept going and said, no, that's dangerous. And that was an example of how easy it is to track, to run after money. So they just got tempted by Mr. Buy-Ins and that crew that do whatever is helpful now. Then the filthy lucre, right? That's what he's illustrating there, that silver mine was a dangerous place. You don't need to chase for money, but yet many will chase for money. The next event or scene before they get into the Doubting Castle scene is related to a refreshment and resting by a river, the River of David, I think it was called. So they were able to spend some time there. They ate good. They refreshed themselves. And then just before this Doubting Castle and Giant Despair, they had this time of refreshment. But they had to get back on their journey. And we need to get on to Doubting Castle and Giant Despair, because I think there's some good things that we can learn, can glean from this. What Bunyan was illustrating provides to us, it's like this visible picture. Could have been from his personal life or while he was watching other people suffer. As a journey, as a believer, we look at people who go through different turmoils. And you guys, over the years, you'll notice that different people deal with them differently. Some people deal with things, you know, a diagnosis of cancer or some great loss, they deal with it very differently. But the idea is that they all are subject to finding themselves, now just think about what we're saying, in the dungeon of Doubting Castle where Giant Despair lives. That's, you see the picture? That's what we're looking at. And it is possible for believers to get there. Amen. It is possible for us to get there, you guys. And if we lose track, if we lose sight, I think there, it is such a great encouragement when you think about how the Word of God is presented time and time again. This is not something that it's easy to give to people while they're in the dungeons of Doubting Castle. And Giant Despair is standing over there, beating them up is really what the illustration is. And I believe there's a place that, this is a place that all believers will at least visit from time to time in their Christian journey. It may be of varying degrees, but all will fall into it at some time. And Bunyan gives the one thing that believers need to recall to escape this period, and that is the promise. Amen. The key was promise. Amen. And he kept it near his heart. That's the thing that brings liberty from this dungeon. So let's look at this just a little bit. You know, if there's anything that's helpful in the body of Christ, you guys, is to keep reminding each other of the promises of God. We do not know. I have to admit, you guys, sometimes we do not share our burdens like we should. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes we don't know when a brother or a sister is facing this. And that's bad, but there are times that people walk in the door and they put their face on and they're going to be, you know, Mr. Cheerful at church kind of guy or Miss Cheerful, and we're going to just put on, we don't really know what people are doing. Do you know what the best thing we can do is constantly do what we try to do here at New Testament, and that's remind each other of the promises of God. Folks, we focus on the Word. We've got to stay in the Word. That Word is that promise, reminding us of that promise, that expositional teaching where we're just going through the Word of God and we're dealing with stuff and we come across things. And you guys, I know this, that just the work of God going on as we go through Scripture, it's not a coincidence that there are things that you might have dealt with last week that are in Sunday service. It's not a coincidence. God is sovereignly working through His Word to teach His people, and we just need to keep reminding each other of it. We don't need to turn our backs on the Word of God. We don't need to get away from the Word of God. We don't need to encourage programs that would detract from the Word of God. You remember our psalm, how it starts out? Amen. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night for you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave. I have no energy. Bunyan's illustration, you guys, is they got derailed. They saw a path, and what got them derailed is they saw something that would be easier travels. That's what got them distracted. They looked across the fence, and they saw, man, you see that? That looks better over there. Let's get across there and go. It looks like they both go the same way. Well, they did. Once they got over and they walked it a ways, they realized that it got them off track. It looked like it was taking them to the same place, and it was more comfortable on their feet, they said. But at the same time, it derailed them from their path of the way. They kept calling it the way. And before long, they come up on a fella, and he told them, yeah, this is going that way. But he was wrong. As they traveled, you guys, they fell asleep. I've got to hurry. They fell asleep, and as they did, they woke up, and giant despair was standing over them. They couldn't turn back. They couldn't go back. They had to just keep pressing forward because the flood and the rain stopped them from going back to get back where they were. And giant despair grabbed them. He carried them to his dungeon. He put them in the dungeon. His wife, diffidence. You need to look that word up. I've got it here in my notes. You need to look up the word diffidence. That, her, she was not a quiet person. She was a bossy person. You know what she did? She told Giant Despair, you know what you need to do to him, do to them? You need to beat the snot out of them is what you need to do. And guess what? Next morning, Giant Despair gets up and he beats them almost to death. You see what Bunyan is illustrating? How our psalmist in Psalm 88 was feeling, that's what we're looking at. They kept on. And then the wife gives more advice because it looked like the giant despair said, these guys look rough, they're strong, they're tough, they're not going to bend. Well, she says, you know what you need to do? You need to go out there and show them all the bodies and the skeletons of all those that you've already destroyed. Let them look at them. Christian was to the point, he was ready to commit suicide because that's what giant despair offered, is suicide. You know what? You just need to end it. That's what you need to do. But you know what? I'm so thankful that Hopeful was there. Because if you read it, you'll see that Hopeful kept saying, no, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. They were there for days and they were hungry. They didn't have food. They were in that dark dungeon. They had been beaten, so they were sore and they were hurting. And Hopeful came up with the idea, let's pray. Let's just pray. And they prayed for hours. It wasn't that they prayed and something immediately happened. They prayed for hours. And Christian remembered a key that was given him. And that key was named Promise. And he said, you know, I got this key. And I just wonder. And it unlocked the first door. And it unlocked the second door. Giant despair had this problem that when daylight was coming and he would get enraged, he would go into these jittery fits. If you'd read the story, he goes into these weird jittery fits where he can't control himself, so he just has to stop and wait. Well, just so happened, as they were headed out, he had one of his jittery fits, and they escaped. You guys, that just simply pictures that we need to hold to the promise. The promise is what's going to give us the strength to escape from that dungeon of despair, that dungeon of doubt, that dungeon of diffidence. We just have no want. And I'm so glad that Hopeful was there just to say, Christian, we need to keep going. You can't give up now. You can't give up now. There's more journey ahead. I'm so disappointed. I tried to cover too much tonight. Prayer and promise. Let me land this thing. Prayer and promise was the way of escape. Christian and Hopeful were praying for a long time. And during that time, Christian remembered that gift that was given him. That key of promise came from near his heart. It unlocked the doors and they escaped. When they find their way back to the way, they did something that was encouraging. They set up a warning system. It says this, now, when they were gone over the stile, they began to contrive with themselves what they should do at that stile, that gate, to prevent those that shall come after from falling into the hands of giant despair. So they consented to erect there a pillar and to engrave upon the side thereof this sentence, over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by giant despair, who despises the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. Many, therefore, that followed after read what was written and escaped the danger. This done, they sang as follows. Out of the way we went, and then we found what 'twas to tread upon forbidden ground. And let them that come after have a care, lest heedlessness makes them as we to fare. Lest they for trespassing his prisoners are, whose castles doubting and whose names despair. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the encouragement that we get from understanding all of what's going on here. And Father, we know that there are those who compromise. There are those who are willing, as long as it profits them, to compromise truth. They're compromising responsibility. As long as they can please people or get something out of people, they're willing to give in. And Father, we've been taught that through this part of this book tonight. And Father, and then there's the Doubting Castle time, this dark despair, this dungeon. Father, we know that people, brothers and sisters, may fall into that. They might not heed the warnings, but Father, they would fall into that. And we want to be there to remind them, like Hopeful reminded Christian, that there's promises. And yes, it does seem dark. It does seem painful and hard at that time. But Father, you have promised to us that you would bring us out. And Father, we trust that. And Father, also let us remember the lesson about the silver mine. And the filthy lucre, and that money is not all that we need. You are all that we need. Amen. And Father, let us celebrate that. Thank you and praise you for all who here. We do lift up Brother Jake and his needs. We ask all this and forgiveness in Christ's name. Amen.